Good morning. It's good to be back home again after many years and so many memories of our time spent here at Zion, about 20 years. So just yesterday, I had the privilege of meeting what is, I am sure, our oldest member. And you may not even know her. She lives in the Yoder House at one of the Woodland Park homes there at VMRC. Her name is Frances Showalter, and today is her birthday. She will be 102 years old today. And I said something to Sarah about our having a Zion letterhead on a table in the foyer for you to sign today. How many of you would still know Frances Showalter? She lived with her sister, Margaret. Frances and Margaret were such gracious people. They would bring a birthday cake for each of our children on their birthdays. How many of you remember Frances Showalter? Great. And it also illustrates how much change there's been here in the membership of Zion, but it is good to be here. At Advent, instead of just asking each other, how are you? Often we ask the question, are you ready for Christmas? And I'm sure many of us are putting a lot of effort into getting ready, finding just the right gift for our loved ones, and in the process, helping to give our economy a big year-end boost. Part of me sees something positive about this. What's the downside to spreading some winter cheer, making people happy, singing some carols, being generous with Salvation Army bell ringers, and enjoying family get-togethers? I think it was Bart Simpson who once noted, "We get to celebrate Jesus' birthday by getting lots of really cool stuff. Is this a great religion or what?" But there's another side of us that asks, what does all of that have to do with honoring the person whose birthday it really is, Jesus? William Wood, a retired JMU prof and a member of the Beaver Creek Church of the Brethren, wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal some years ago, in which he lamented that our national celebration of Christmas has become so non-Christian and so non-Christmas, as in Christ Mass or Christ worship, that we should just abandon it altogether as believers and let the unbelievers have that one. And we would have something like a holy nativity or a feast of the incarnation, celebrating the coming of God in the flesh. There's an organization called Simple Living Works that promotes a freeing kind of more with less lifestyle, which for years has come up with alternative ways of doing Christmas that under the heading, "Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?" suggesting that in the spirit of the real St. Nicholas, a third century bishop of what is now in Turkey, that we make this a time of generous giving for the needs of our hungry and homeless neighbors around the world. But maybe we can learn from something from the way our culture has gone all out in observance of the season and practice a similar kind of lavishness in honor of Jesus. About 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul promoted something like that very thing in his second letter to the believers at Corinth, asking them to take up a major collection in honor of Jesus to help meet the needs of fellow believers in far-off Judea, which includes present-day Gaza, which is not too far from where the shepherds would have been out on the hills when the angels brought their message. In chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we have a first century example of what we would call world relief for people nearly 800 miles from Corinth by sea, as the crow flies, and much further by land. Comparing their means of travel in that day with our means today, that would have been far more challenging and more remote than any part of the world would be to us today. We could get to the desperately hungry and bombed out people in Israel-Palestine in hours. They would have needed weeks to get there from Corinth if traveling by land, and many days if by sea, in order to make this giving possible to the needy people in Judea. Missionary Paul makes the point in this passage that reaching out with a Christmas-like generosity and compassion should grow out of a sense of our first experiencing how much we have received from God. He notes the example of people in nearby Macedonia, also a mostly working class Gentile congregation, as already having raised a lot of money for their mostly Jewish fellow believers in Judea, who were experiencing a drought and were in desperate need of help. So you too, he writes, need to excel in joyful generosity and toward these people who are a part of your family. As Jesus instructed his disciples, give freely as you have so freely received. In other words, give unto others as God has given unto you. I'll never forget a light bulb moment I had right here at this spot one Sunday morning at Zion years ago as I prayed the offertory prayer and the ushers were collecting the offering and bringing the offering to the table that was in front of the pulpit. I was a half-time pastor here at the time, and it just struck me as I looked at that those gifts on the table, that a half of our family's income is from other people's gifts in these offering plates in front of me, and that we're really living on charity, on church welfare. But then I thought, well, I do have another job like others do in the congregation as a half-time teacher at Eastern Mennonite High School. Only to realize, when I checked it out, that the total amount of money in Zion's budget at that time that went to the high school through the tuition fund and other means, that total amount was almost exactly what I was receiving from EMHS as the other half of my salary. And then I thought, well, maybe all of us are really living off of other people's gifts. That every time we receive more from our work or from something we sell for a profit, above the expense of producing an item or providing a service, what we consider profit, is really a gift. Also, we have all received extravagantly from our parents who looked after us, fed us, clothed us, and took care of our every needs during our growing up when we didn't contribute a thing. And we had all kinds of people around us, taxpayers, who maybe unwillingly gave in order to provide things like a free public education and so many other benefits. Along with the incredible good fortune of having been born in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, all of which has made us all very, very well off. If people's wealth depended entirely on how hard they worked, the ordinary African woman in the global South would be a millionaire. But we, who earn $50,000 or more a year, are in the top 1% of the world's wealthiest people. And that is a gift to us. So maybe life is all about an humbling kind of gift exchange. And many of these involuntary gifts that we receive are from field workers and sweatshop factory workers around the world. Their cheap labor being what makes so much of our wealth and comfort possible. In times past, only royalty or the very, very rich would have access to the kind of exotic foods, for example, that we take for granted, on which we fare sumptuously every day. Or to have our wardrobes filled with garments made in places like Bangladesh, Vietnam, Taiwan, Pakistan, by people earning near slave wages. Just check the labels on the garments in your closet, and you will be surprised. The more we move toward Jesus in this Advent season, the more we will be moving toward justice. And the more we'll find ourselves rejoicing with Mary, Jesus' mother, who in the passage read this morning, celebrates the fact that Jesus' birth means powerful people being brought down from their thrones, poor people being lifted up, the hungry enjoying their fill of good things, and the rich being sent away empty. So real Christmas-like giving isn't so much an act of charity from a position of privilege in which the poor get the leftovers from our heavily laden tables. But all of us will, in God's economy, be seated with Jesus around one common banquet table. And surely God the host would have it no other way, would never tolerate, as we would not, having any of our children at our Christmas meal at one end of the table getting plenty and the other go away hungry. So the Apostle Paul, in arranging for a Christmas-like offering for God's children in Gaza, doesn't promote a kind of charity in which the well-off still get to become ever more well-to-do every year of their working lives. But he says in beginning at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 8, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need when you are in want." The goal is equality, as it is written, "The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little." And that text is from the Torah in the description of the manna that God provided for the children of Israel. And then in the next chapter, chapter 9, Paul writes, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver." And the Greek word here is hilarion, which our word hilarious comes from. And it goes on to say, "God will generously provide for you. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say," and he quotes from the Psalms, "that those who fear the Lord share freely and generously with the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." I'd like to close this with a story that Phoebe Brenneman told us about the generosity of our second oldest son. He was about early elementary school age at the time. He was really excited about the summer Bible school project here one year to provide some family in a needy part of the world with a heifer that would be the source of milk for this family and help lift them out of poverty through an organization called Heifer International. Well, our son didn't tell us anything about this, but one evening he came over early to Bible school. We lived right across the road from here. And he brought the entire content of cash in his piggy bank to help others, to help reach this goal of purchasing this heifer. And he didn't do it out of guilt, not because anyone urged him to do that, we certainly hadn't, but because he was excited about the delight this would bring to some family. He believed that it was money well invested because the first heifer of this one would be given to another needy family. And then that family, the first heifer that result would go to yet another family. And so his gift would multiply. So he experienced that as a moment of joy, as we all could and should, as we think about this Christmas being extra generous with a gift for Gaza or for other people in the world like them across the street or around the world who are in need. And our son knew that everything he gave, in spite of that, that he would always be well taken care of by his family. And that's my Christmas prayer for all of us, for a kind of sense of a worldwide community of the family of God, where Jesus is the host around one table, where nothing is marred and nothing is missing, that all God's children everywhere are blessed with enough. And this is something that the very rich in our world never have, that we can enjoy, and that is enough. To be content, to be genuinely joyful with the fact that we have been blessed beyond measure, and therefore we can bless others in a similar way. So as a part of the Virginia Relief Sale group that is trying to raise money every year for world relief, I'd like to just suggest that each of you take some time this holiday season to make an extra, over-the-top kind of gift to an organization like Mennonite Central Committee or similar organization. There are plenty of them to choose from. And to make this a part of your gift to the birthday child, Jesus. Or you can probably designate something through your congregational treasurer and do the same thing. So that is my short message. And I just want to leave you with that kind of challenge that we might all experience that kind of joy this Christmas season. God bless you all.